We are here today because too many people in San Francisco are falling into crisis when intervention could and should come sooner. Public safety and the behavioral health crisis are my top priorities as mayor, because when someone is in the grip of severe mental illness, the consequences affect them, their families, and the public. Every day, we see people deteriorating in plain sight. They cycle through emergency rooms and jails. Families watch loved ones slip through and slip farther away. Neighborhoods feel the impact when help arrives only after harm has already occurred. Over the past year, we've made progress getting people off the streets and into care. We've expanded stabilization and treatment options. The 822 Geary Stabilization Center has helped connect more people to treatment than any other facility of its kind in San Francisco. And we've increased the number of shelter and treatment beds available across the city. But as we all know, there are still gaps in our system. And those gaps have real consequences. Under current law, a court can order someone to participate in assisted outpatient treatment, but it cannot authorize the medication that is often necessary to stabilize severe mental illness. As a result, treatment teams are forced to stand by while someone deteriorates, even when the medical need is clear and the risks are obvious. The legislation we are announcing today addresses that failure. This bill allows a court, based on medical evidence and individual circumstances, to authorize involuntary medication when a person lacks the capacity to consent. This approach is careful, it is measured, and it is grounded in clinical judgment and judicial oversight. People retain full due process protections, including legal representation and ongoing court review. Each case is evaluated individually. At the center of this effort is a simple reality. Stability is the gateway to recovery. For many people with severe mental illness, medication is what allows treatment to work at all. Without it, housing placements fail, care breaks down, and crises repeat themselves, often with greater harm each time. We can do better, and we are. I want to thank Assemblymember Catherine Stephanie for authoring this legislation, and Raphael Mandelman, President of the Board of Supervisors, for advancing a resolution of support. I also want to recognize Matt Haney, our Assemblymember, and Dan Tsai for their leadership. This is what serious partnership looks like when the goal is real outcomes. We will keep expanding treatment capacity, we will keep pushing for accountability, and we will keep adding the tools that will allow us to save lives. With that, it is my honor to introduce the author of this bill, Assemblymember Catherine Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I want to start by thanking Mayor Daniel Lurie and Supervisor Raphael Mandelman for their partnership and leadership on this extremely important legislation. This is exactly what it looks like when the city and the state work boldly together to save lives, actively rejecting the status quo. A status quo that accepts people suffering from mental illness on our streets, often dying out there, or cycling through hospital emergency rooms, or stuck in overcrowded, dangerous county jails, ill-equipped to help them. Today, with their support, I'm announcing legislation to strengthen court-ordered assisted outpatient treatment, because we know right now our system is not working. Under current law, a civil court can order someone into assisted outpatient mental health treatment if specific legal criteria are met. But what it cannot do is require the medication that is often essential to treating that mental illness and preventing that individual from suffering further harm. So we have a situation where courts can mandate so-called treatment, but can't actually mandate treatment like necessary medication that provides the relief that is desperately needed. And the result is predictable. People fall off their care plans. They deteriorate. They cycle again through our emergency rooms, psychiatric holds, jails, and back out onto the street. This is not compassion. It is failure. And this bill fixes that gap. It allows courts, when someone is already under an assisted outpatient treatment order and clearly unable to make medical decisions for themselves, to require medication as part of that treatment plan so clinicians can do their jobs and people can actually stabilize. When people are on the medication they need, they can actually recover and avoid the vicious cycle of churning through our hospitals and jails. And people have a real chance to stay housed, connected to care, and to move forward in recovery. This is also a public safety bill. When the system cannot ensure treatment that works, everyone pays the price. Families, neighbors, first responders, and the individuals themselves. This bill allows us to intervene earlier before situations escalate into emergencies. And it does all of this with strong due process protections, court oversight, and ongoing review. This legislation reflects what we hear from clinicians, families, and people in recovery themselves. Treatment works when it is real, consistent, and absolutely complete, and that involves medication. I'm proud to stand here with Mayor Lurie and Supervisor Mandelman to move this reform forward and to say clearly that California can do better and must do better than waiting for people to hit rock bottom or even die on our streets. I once heard a parent describe our current system. He said it was like watching your child slowly walk off a cliff and not being able to reach them. I'm going to do everything in my power to reach those who are in desperate need of this care. This bill helps people stay well, stay safe, and stay connected to care. Our systems are failing, and it's way past time that we fix those systems. At this time, I'd like to introduce Supervisor Mandelman, President of the Board.
Thank you, Assemblymember Stephanie. Thank you for this important and courageous legislation. I think everyone here knows San Francisco, indeed all of California, has struggled for decades with the challenge of meeting the needs of severely mentally ill individuals, many of whom are on our streets. And since joining the board, I have missed no opportunity to push for appropriate interventions to care for people who cannot care for themselves. I want to acknowledge Senator Wiener, who I think the first piece of significant legislation I introduced at the board was trying to allow San Francisco to opt in to a prior effort to get care to severely mentally ill people. Through efforts of Senator Wiener and former State Senator Eggman and the governor, we have seen changes in state law around conservatorship standards, and notably SB 43 in 2023. And in San Francisco, thank you, Mayor Lurie, thank you, Chief Kunal Modi, and thank you, Director of Public Health Daniel Tsai, and Director of Behavioral Health Hillary Cunnins, for all the work that you are doing to build out the bed and staffing capacity we will need to maximize our use of the tools that the state has given us. Now, this law is not about conservatorship, but in an indirect way, it is. It helps San Francisco address two needs. Some people are very, very sick, but cannot recognize their own illness and do not recognize that they need to take medication to not descend into a spiral that will land them on that relentless merry-go-round that Assemblymember Stephanie was talking about. These folks may not need a full-blown conservatorship, and we certainly do not have the beds or the staffing capacity to provide full-blown conservatorships for all of those people. So this is a lesser, less intrusive intervention to get medical care through assisted outpatient treatment to people who could benefit for it. It helps us address a second need as well. I said we don't have the resources that we need at the county level for all of the folks who would benefit for and qualify for a conservatorship. That is just true. My 7.5 years on the Board of Supervisors show me that we are leaving people out there who would meet LPS standards for conservatorship, and right now they are rotting and in many cases dying on our streets. Do we continue to say we're going to do nothing for these people, or do we try? Our mayor has talked about being relentless in addressing San Francisco's most significant challenges. This is one of San Francisco's most significant challenges, and it's one of our greatest moral failings as a city and a state that we have failed to address it for so long. We have to try. We have to be bold. We have to be persistent. We have to experiment. When things work, we should do more of them. When they fail, we should try other things. And it's in that spirit that, again, I'm so grateful to Assemblymember Stephanie for taking on this legislation. Now, I anticipate that we will hear the same tired and predictable objections that some raise whenever we broach the topic of caring for people whose illness prevents them from realizing that they need care. As someone who witnessed my own mother's struggles with mental health for most of her adult life, I know that they are wrong. We must get care to these people. It's a moral imperative. So thanks again to Assemblymember Stephanie, to Assemblymember Haney, and Senator Weiner. And I really do want to thank the folks at DPH who have been so creative. Director Cummins came to us from New York, where they have a law where assisted outpatient treatment can deliver involuntary medication, and she is really the person who had the insight that maybe this is something that could work in San Francisco. Dr. Angelica Almeida is another person who's been so helpful in trying to think this through. And then I, of course, want to thank Eileen Mariano in the mayor's office for her work. And in the city, and you're going to hear from the city attorney, but Andrea Bress and now Judge Leanne Dumas were extraordinary as well. And we have an extraordinary city attorney. Am I right? And finally, I really do want to thank all of the clinicians, all of the firefighters, the doctors, the nurses, the case managers, everybody who's out there struggling every day and is frustrated that they can't get care to people who desperately need it, who watch the same sorry cycle play out over and over again. And to the families of those people, thank you for your stories, for your advocacy. Thank you for being here. I hope we can get this done. If we are, it's going to be through the effectiveness of our assembly member, Stephanie, but also the effectiveness of our compassionate and pragmatic representative for Assembly District 17, the great Matt Haney.
Thank you to the great President Mandelman and to our mayor and to Assemblymember Stephanie and State Senator Weiner and City Attorney Chu and all of the leaders who are here who simply want to help people. A compassionate city is there for people who need our help. People who are experiencing a severe mental illness, by definition, need our help. They cannot care for themselves on their own. They need us to be there for them with effective, ongoing treatment. Right now, as you heard, the law gets in the way of it. I mean, this is one of these things where, for those of us who are hearing this for the first time, many of us are going to respond with, that can't possibly be the law. We cannot possibly have a law right now that prevents us from helping people who in many cases are wandering our streets without any assistance, without any care. When we have something that will help them, right now we are prevented from doing that. Treatment works, medication works, and it is required for effective treatment for folks who are experiencing mental illness in many cases. For a court to be told, no, you cannot help this person. You cannot provide them with the medically appropriate response to provide assistance for someone who has severe mental illness and may be a danger to themselves or others. That is madness. It's a part of why this system is failing. And it is so important that we change this law and be there for the people who need this treatment and care. This is an obvious part of what we need to do as a city. It's something that the state should do. And it is one of the many steps that we have to take to not just abandon people, to not just walk away from people who desperately need treatment and care. We shouldn't be putting people in jail or prison or a psychiatric hospital if we can help them with assisted outpatient treatment. It's more effective, it's cheaper, it will provide the care that's appropriate for folks, and this law will ensure that we can do it for people who most need it. Thank you again, Assemblymember Stephanie, who has just come up to the legislature, and this is now her second year and is already leading on such incredibly important issues, and in partnership with our state, with our city leaders, we are going to get this done and we are going to pass this law. I want to welcome somebody who's been leading on the issue of treatment and care for folks who are experiencing severe mental illness and addiction for a long time, as long as he's been in office and leadership, and is going to make sure we pass this not only in the Assembly, but the Senate, State Senator Scott Wiener.
Thank you, Assemblymember. I want to, first of all, thank Assemblymember Stephanie for stepping up on this issue, which will be, there will be a lot of conversation, I'm sure, around this bill and a lot of different views, and I'm so appreciative for her stepping up to help lead that conversation and make this important change. I also just want to really thank President Mandelman, who has just gone to the mat on this issue for so many years and been a vocal leader based on his own lived experience and his family, and it's just been extraordinary. And I also want to thank Supervisor Dorsey, who is here and has been a leader as well. So I first became involved in this issue back in 2018 when I introduced my first conservatorship bill. It was a sort of a smaller bill that, you know, ultimately over years built up to the big conservatorship reform that we did a few years later. And when I introduced that bill, I was told, don't introduce a conservatorship bill. It's impossible to pass. There's no way to do it. The politics are too hard. And what I saw and quickly saw was that politics had changed. And the politics had changed because the reality had changed. And people understood that although the state hospitals that were closed down many years ago were over the top and warehousing people and were inhumane and horrible, that we went to the opposite extreme, where we were not providing support for people, and we were, and as a state, as a society, we were just watching people unravel day by day on our streets and die. And everyone could tell a story of that person they would see in their neighborhood on the street get a little bit worse every day, and then one day not be there anymore. And that is not humane. That is not progressive. That is not how we should be helping people and getting people healthy and saving people's lives. And when I first introduced that bill, we had some protests, and it was very, very intense. And I will never forget the evening I was at an event, and this young woman, who I stereotyped because she had a lot of tattoos and piercings, came up to me and said, I want to talk to you about your conservatorship bill. I'm a criminal defense attorney. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to yell at me about this bill. And she said, thank you for doing this, because if they're not going into a conservatorship, they're coming to see me in the criminal justice system. And that we should never be in the position that we are today, where the Los Angeles County Jail is the largest mental health provider in the United States of America, where that is the primary place that we are delivering care to so many people. And so this is another important step in providing the tools to our local communities, to our local health authorities, to be able to save people's lives, to stabilize people, to get them healthy, and to get them back on track. So Assemblymember Stephanie, thank you so much for your work on this issue. It's now my honor to present our city attorney, who was actually with me when he was in the assembly doing that joint town hall where we got protested. He has also been just rock solid on this issue. And so City Attorney David Chu.
Thank you, Senator, for reminding me of the PTSD of that political conversation. Let me start by thanking all of the public servants standing here on the steps of City Hall who every day are helping to save lives, led by our mayor, Assemblywoman Stephanie, President Mandelman, whose collective commitment to pursuing every policy that we can have to assist those who are struggling with mental health and substance abuse challenges on our streets. As your city attorney, our office works every day with the Department of Public Health and our public conservator to implement as many of our state and local laws aimed at saving lives. My deputies bring the legal petitions that are needed to enroll someone in assisted outpatient treatment or, if needed, a conservatorship. As has been stated, we do this work in a way that protects due process while helping those clinical experts treat those who are struggling. And I want to thank the many clinicians, social workers, EMTs, and behavioral health workers who are looking to treat the very unique needs of every person on our streets who need care. For decades, San Francisco has led with compassion and innovation in this arena. We have advocated for and implemented expansions to our outdated laws to address the needs of our family members. In recent years, my lawyers have implemented our state care court program, and we have been advisors to state lawmakers on the changes to increase the ability to reach more people. This bill represents another innovative step to expand our clinical and legal tools to treat those struggling with severe mental illnesses with the medication that they need. And as a former state legislator, I know full well how changes in this area of law are not going to be easy, but we have to do it. Lives are depending on it. We know that we can do this successfully in San Francisco, and we can do this successfully on the streets of California, and that is why I'm very happy for our office to be involved in this effort. And with that, it's my pleasure to introduce someone who knows every day what this means on our streets, the Medical Director of Clinical Innovation at SFDPH, Dr. Enrico Castillo. Thank you.
Hello, thank you very much. I'm going to keep my remarks brief. I'm Enrico Castillo. I'm a physician in the San Francisco Department of Public Health and who specializes in psychiatry. And I've had the great privilege to serve as a psychiatrist within the Assisted Outpatient Treatment Program, or AOT, in New York and in California. Psychotropic medications are gold standard. They're life-saving medications for people with mental health conditions. Medications are especially important for my patients in AOT, which is a program that's reserved for individuals experiencing the most severe illness in our community. As a doctor in AOT, I see my patients in their homes, sitting across from them at their kitchen table or in their living room. I get to know them and their families very well. And there are so many times when it's clear to me that they're getting seriously ill and they're not taking their medications. In New York, I was able to get them life-saving medications to treat their illness and prevent an involuntary hospitalization. And this is because in New York State, they have a tool for court-ordered outpatient medications, which is what this bill proposes. In California, just imagine, I have to watch my patients on AOT get sicker and sicker to the point of life-threatening emergency until they can access court-ordered medications. In real terms, this is unnecessary pain. This is heartbreaking for my patients and their loved ones. It's unfair that I can do more to care for my patients in New York than in our state. What this bill proposes is a narrow but critically important tool for a group of individuals on AOT with severe illness, and it has the potential to prevent a great deal of suffering and to save lives. I applaud and am honored to support the work of Assemblymember Stefani, Assemblymember Haney, Mayor Lurie, Board President Mandelman, Director Tsai. Court-ordered medications for the treatment of mental illness can be done safely, humanely, with dignity, and with due process protections. Thank you very much. I'm going to introduce Dr. Almeida to share her expertise as well.
Good Good morning. My name is Angelica Almeida, and I'm a clinical psychologist and the former director of the Assisted Outpatient Treatment Program in San Francisco. AOT is one of the few programs that family members can refer their loved ones to. What that means is every day, the AOT team receives calls from parents in despair looking for a life-saving intervention to save their adult children. From children who have disappeared and have been found on the streets in San Francisco, sleeping on a grate in an alleyway or being victimized daily, to a child with a broken leg and is sitting in his own feces, AOT was a solace to those parents. In every single one of these cases, what made the difference in their trajectory was a court intervening to allow for medications. Unfortunately, that meant that their condition had to get far worse before we could intervene to support them. Allowing for medications under certain circumstances in AOT provides an opportunity to help people get better without requiring them to be in horrific situations and requiring hospitalization first. It gives families their loved ones back. In all of these situations we discussed today, medications have been the turning point that has allowed reunification with parents and their adult children. It has given people a pathway to recovery and their dignity. As Dr. Castillo noted, this bill will improve the effectiveness of the assisted outpatient treatment program by allowing a critical tool and best practice to be provided to those in need. Many thank yous to our city and state leaders for moving this bill forward. Thank you.
Thank you all. We're happy to take a couple questions, Assembly Member, Board President, or anybody else up here. You're going to have to speak up. Sorry.
What would that really, I guess, look like? Like, if you could break it down for us, does somebody need to be in AOT already, or besides that? I guess just a kind of more basic breakdown of how that.
All right, I'm going to try, and then I think what may need to happen is one of the actual professionals up here, and there are a lot of folks who know how this works. But we have assisted outpatient treatment. Right now it is a largely voluntary program. But you can petition to get someone into assisted outpatient treatment, and the county could also petition, if this law passes, for an involuntary medication order, which would give that judge in that AOT court additional leverage to ensure that the patient who is in the court complies with the program. And if they are not, then there would be the ability to go out, as we currently have involuntary medication orders through attached to conservatorships, send folks out, bring the patient into general, get them their shot, and then take them back out into to their living place. The hope is, of course, that that doesn't happen, that that's an ultimate sanction for someone who's really non-compliant. But that would be sort of the ultimate, if things go badly and we need to enforce that, that would be the mechanism for enforcing it.
So in all of these situations, they'll have a treating psychiatrist that would be reviewing their care, and that's something that's monitored by the court through regular progress reports as well.
I wonder if there's an ability for somebody to, if they are having a mental health crisis, to have some kind of an appeal process or to voice their objection to being forced to take medication. How would that look? How would that work?
Yeah, absolutely. In all of these situations, as President Mandelman noted, the first step would be to pursue a court order to participate in outpatient treatment. That doesn't automatically mean that a person would be forced to take medications or have an involuntary medication order. As we've discussed today, there's very thorough due process protections, including representation from the public defender's office. If somebody ultimately is recommended to take medications by a psychiatrist and they're not willing to, we could pursue an order through the court to have an involuntary medication order. Currently, what assisted outpatient treatment does is really leverages the black robe effect, or this idea that there's the symbolic weight of the court, that if a judge tells you to do something, that you'll do it. What this changes is that for individuals who really require psychiatric medications for their condition to improve, under due process protections. They would be able to be transported to a hospital environment to receive those medications that have been recommended by a treating psychiatrist and then return to the community to continue their care. So under court orders, those last for a brief amount of times. Under AOT, court orders can last for an initial 6 months and can be extended an additional 6 months. And then throughout the course of an AOT order or any other kind of conservatorship program, the individual, through their attorney, is able to protest that order and have a court hearing present where it's required that we provide clear and convincing evidence and an individual continues to meet the criteria.
And just to be clear, there is a judge who is not associated with public health, with the Department of Public Health, who is having to determine whether these arguments that are being made by the Department of Public Health and the county are correct. So there are strict legal standards. The bar is very, very high, comparable to the bar for conservatorship. And so at each step, there would be, one, a judge would have to agree with it, and two, there would be the opportunity for the patient represented by an attorney to petition to have that order overturned if for some reason it no longer made, they felt it no longer made sense.
Yeah, I know there's an investigation going on at the state level. I'll let that play out. You all covered the interactions that I had already, so I'll let the investigations continue. Yeah, I was in communication with their management and through the management to the family. We offered up the support of our city in any way possible. I mentioned yesterday that I had the opportunity to spend some time with Bob Weir before one of his shows this summer, and he kept saying to me, thank you. Thank all of the city for making this possible. I just said back to him, are you kidding? Thank you. Like, what you have given, what you and your band and your mates have given to our city for decades and decades is simply, unquantifiable. It is so special what the Dead and Company now, but what the Grateful Dead have given to our city. Our hearts go out to the family and to all of the fans around the world that are mourning his loss. It's fitting that his last show was in Golden Gate Park, or, one of their last shows was in Golden Gate Park. So we were honored to host them. Thank you all.